Okay, now the third explanation for what this Wailing Wall, or what's also known as the Western Wall, is that it's this fortress of Antonia, so it would not be part of this Jewish temple wall at all. And thereby, it is, that's why it was not destroyed. Now, the Jews built this to help protect the temple, and they could put their soldiers in here. But during Jesus' time, they were occupied by the Roman Empire, and so the Roman soldiers used this as their barracks. And in fact, in Acts, that's what Luke calls this Antonia Fortress. And it got, they named it Antonia from Mark Antony, and that lived something B.C., a few hundred years B.C. But he was really favored by the Romans, and so he got, they named this the Antonia Fortress. But the Roman soldiers stayed in here. And so then as a result, the thought is that they did not, the Romans didn't destroy this wall because, well, this was their fortress that they used, and they only were after destroying the temple. And so that's why this wall was left. Now, I really think that it's the second explanation, that it was totally obliterated and it's been rebuilt in the centuries, as Kaufman explained. But what I thought we would look at is a little more about this Antonia Fortress, because it is mentioned in the Bible, in Acts. And we'll first start looking at Acts 21 and verse 28. Acts 21:28. Paul has come off of his third missionary journey, and he has brought some of his Gentile companions, Luke being one of them. And the Jews know that Paul has brought some Gentiles into the Jerusalem city, but that's no problem. Now they are going to falsely accuse Paul of bringing these Gentiles into the Jewish courtyard. So it would be fine for Paul to bring them into this retaining wall, this huge retaining wall. That's the Gentile courtyard. That's okay. But they have falsely accused Paul of then bringing Gentiles into the Jewish courtyard, this smaller wall inside that has the sign that no Gentile may enter or they will be put to death, is implied. Okay, so that's what we're about to read here, is this false accusation against Paul. So Acts 21, verse 28. I'll back up to verse 27. Now, when the 7 days were almost ended, here we are at the Passover, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him. Now, this is Asia Minor, and Paul, as we know, on all three of these missionary journeys, everywhere he went, usually the first thing he would do when he came into the new town, he would go to the Jewish synagogue. And the Jews attacked him in every city. They even left him for dead in Lyconia. They had stoned him and drug him out to the edge of town and left him for dead. They thought he was dead, but he survived. He wasn't, and he recovered. And that's where he met Lois and Timothy's mother and Timothy at that town, and they helped take care of him. But anyway, everywhere he went, these Jews all over Asia Minor, that is now known as modern-day Turkey, they had attacked him. So here now, they have come in for the Passover, these Jews that are from Asia Minor, and they see Paul here, and so they're stirring up the whole crowd, and they laid hands on Paul, verse 28, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, against the law, and against this place, the temple. And furthermore, he also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." Now that is a false accusation. Verse 29, "For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with Paul in the city." Well, that was just in Jerusalem. "Whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. But Paul had not. They stayed on the outside." And it's unclear whether they came into this retaining wall, into the Gentile courtyard, or not. But this is the false accusation. Okay. Now, because of this false accusation, there are several cascading events that ultimately lead to Paul being taken before Caesar in Rome because of this false accusation right here in verse 28. So, now, where this Antonia fortress comes in is verse 34. The commander of the Roman army sees that they are causing an uproar. And Rome in this time was, they wanted just peace. They were occupying Jerusalem, but they did not want any fighting. They did not care what your religion was because they were pagans and they had many false gods. They didn't care anything what you did, but their job, the soldiers' job, was to keep uproars from coming up. So here's an uproar. So now they're coming into action. And verse 33, the commander came near and took Paul and commanded him to be bound with two chains. And he asked Paul who he was and what he had done. So verse 34, this is the first mention of this Antonia fortress. "And some among the multitude cried one thing and some another. So when he could not ascertain the truth, this commander, because of the tumult, then the commander commanded Paul to be taken into the barracks." And that is what Luke calls this Antonia fortress that is right against the retaining wall of the Jewish temple. So, he is taken in there for this first time. And then, as Paul goes in, he asks that he might be able to speak to the people. And so he's allowed to here. And so he gives them a little speech here. And then I want to look at verse 37. This is the next time that the barracks are mentioned, this Antonia fortress. "Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he said to the commander, 'May I speak to you?' And he replied, 'Can you speak Greek?' Which Paul could." Okay, then let's go to chapter 22, because there's the barracks are mentioned in Acts 21, 22, and 23. So Acts 22, verse 24 is the next time. So anyway, what happened here, Paul was taken prisoner into barracks. Well, not exactly. He was taken prisoner, but It was for his safety is how what the Romans did. And so now Jesus has talked to him directly and told him that he's going to depart from Jerusalem and he will send Paul far away from here and he will start evangelizing to the Gentiles. So, verse 24. Well, I guess I'll pick up with verse 22 first. And they listened to Paul until this word, and then after they raised their voices, said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." So they want to kill Paul. Then as the crowd cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the commander ordered him to be brought. So Paul brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging. So now he's going to have to do a punishment because he did this speech and stirred up the people, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. So they're going to beat him until he tells them why the people are against him. So here's the barracks mentioned again, this Antonia fortress. Then now let's go to Acts 23. And we'll pick up with verse 8. Paul is now speaking among the people. I don't know if this is in the courtyard or the... it's before the Sanhedrin. And so he knows that there are Pharisees and Sadducees here. And so he pits them against each other. And Paul is very wise in this, and that gets the Pharisees on his side. So he starts talking about angels and the spirit. And verse 8, "For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection and no angel and no spirit, but the Pharisees confess both," or all three, that there is a resurrection, there are angels, there are spirits. Okay, so verse 9. "Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, 'We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God.'" So the Pharisees are saying, who knows that God or an angel is speaking to him, so let's just let this go because he's saying things that we like. And then verse 10. "Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks." So they're taking him back into this Antonia fortress. Then we'll drop down to verse 16. "So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, Paul's nephew went and entered the barracks and told Paul." So now they're going to do an ambush and try to kill him whenever they're taking him out of the barracks and catch him out of town and assassinate him. Then verse 32, this is the last mention in the Bible of this Antonia fortress. Verse 32. We'll back up with 31. "Then the soldiers, as they were commanded, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. The next day they left the horsemen to go on with him and return to the barracks." So then the men left Paul and went back to the barracks. So this is this Antonia fortress. So those are the three thoughts that people have as far as what this Wailing Wall is. And the best explanation is it was just as Jesus said, it was totally obliterated, went down to the foundation, and in the subsequent centuries, it's been rebuilt. And now there are three different types of stone that you can see. And it's a very poor job that they did. And the stones are not lined up with the foundation or even each other as they built rebuilt this wall.